This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, friends, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again, and glad that you could tune us in and spend this next half hour with us exploring the Word of God. It's always our pleasure to have opportunity to do that, and we thank you for allowing us and affording us that opportunity. You know, today I want to talk to you about something that many of you are probably rather familiar with, and it's quite common throughout the Christian community, and that is this idea about being born again. Many of you will hear the question, you know, are you saved, or do you know the Lord, brother? And some of these questions come from good-hearted people. They have the most noblest intents in mind, in all due respect, because all they're asking you those questions for is to find out whether or not you're confident or secure enough with your relationship with God, and especially and specifically with Jesus Christ, as to whether or not you feel confident and secure that if indeed you do die, if indeed some accident, God forbid, would happen and you were killed, that you would make it up to those, as they say, pearly gates and be afforded opportunity to enter into heaven. And again, in all due respect, friends, I understand that, and certainly there's no gainsaying on my part to criticize or ridicule that kind of understanding and concept. But my question today is, quite simply and frankly, is that all there is to it? Is that really what born again truly means? And, or, are we missing something with this born again concept? Is there something more to it? Is there something beyond this, what we're led to believe means this religious epiphany of sorts, a religious experience of reawakening one's life and turning 180 degrees into a different direction? And I understand all of that and how that works in the minds of a lot of people, but is that all there is all I'm asking? Or are we really missing a major dimension that your Bible has been attempting to explain to us through the Word of God for many, many, not only centuries, but millennia, in explaining to us the real truth about what it really means to be born again? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that today, because I want to really get into what the Bible has to say about what born again means and compare that with the traditional understanding that many of us have of it being just simply a religious reawakening in one's personal life, a religious epiphany, if you will. But before I do that, let me interrupt myself and once again introduce to you, as it is our habit here on the Armor of God, our offers. Today we have two separate CDs. Now understand something, CDs only. We are not providing taped offers or formats any longer. And both these CD offerings will go ahead and expand a little bit on the topic that we're talking about, and you really need to get them for that reason. The title of the first one is John 3, Born Again? Very good presentation that will go into far more detail about what we're about to launch into and discuss here for the remaining moments of the broadcast. Secondly, we have one by Bronson James called Nick at Night, a cute little play on words, but I think, again, you will find it very supplementary in helping you to better understand what we're about to talk about, and a booklet, my friends. You can easily read this booklet in one sitting if you just take the time to do it. You'll find it well documented and quite challenging to your common and traditional understanding of what you think born again really means. It's titled, What Do You Mean Born Again? Both, or I should say, all three of these offers are free. All you've got to do is dial the number there on your screen at 888-578-8791, and hit us on our website too, by the way, at www.cgi.org. We have got a lot more material there for your perusal and consideration. But do get these three offers. You will find them amazing in helping you to better understand what we're about to talk about, because obviously my time is limited here. So dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of these CD offers, John 3, Born Again, Nick at Night, both of them free of charge. We emphasize free. We have nothing to sell here, and the booklet, What Do You Mean, Born Again? And don't forget our website there at www.cgi.org. Now, back to this question about what really the Bible has to say about born again. Now, before we launch into this, I want you to understand that there is, and what I'm proposing here today and suggesting is that there is definitely, without question, a misnomer occurring throughout the whole Christian community. And a lot of it has to do, my friends, to the misunderstanding of what the promise is of the saved. I'm not going to digress into that topic. We've spoken on that from time to time here on the Armor of God, and frankly, I don't have the time for that digression. Suffice it to say, though, that misunderstanding of what truly the reward is of the saved has caused a camouflage effect of what truly born again really means. And you're going to see that, I think, as we go through this a little bit more clearly, and as we explain and begin to get into some of the detail that revolves, believe it or not, around a simple conversation that Jesus had with a very well-educated Pharisee, and of which your Bible claims was a ruler of the Jews, implicit of the fact that this was no knucklehead among the Pharisaical group. I mean, this guy, Nicodemus, was a very well-educated individual. And he was, well, what you could say, I suppose, quite curious about this Jesus the Christ who claimed and did all these wonderful works of God. As a matter of fact, he was so curious that he risked his reputation sneaking one evening to see Jesus secretly. The story of this conversation and meeting is described to us by the Apostle John in the book of John in chapter 3. I want to spend some time here and go through some of this detail because so many today, even scholars with more letters behind their name than my name has letters, claim that this particular chapter describes born again as you supporting what you and I have been led to believe is the traditional understanding of it being some kind of a religious epiphany, a religious reawakening, that it's just a spiritual experience. But I submit to you, my friends, I submit to you that there is more to this born again issue than meets the eye, and so many people miss it, and it's right here in the context. Notice this as we pick up this story now in John chapter 3 and in verse 1. We read here, there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We know. So we see right off the bat here that Nicodemus is somewhat friendly to Jesus. This was not a confrontational meeting. Notice we go on here and it is further illustrated for us, substantiating this very fact. He says, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. So it's obvious, my friends, here, I think, and it's fair to say, Nicodemus was friendly. This was a friendly meeting. It was a neutral meeting. It was a sincere meeting. Nicodemus was genuine in his approach to Jesus to ask him some questions about the life after. He, being a Jew, knowing what the Old Testament taught about life after death in the Torah and so on, and the prophets and what have you, wanted what Jesus' opinion was. He wanted to know a little bit more because he respected Jesus enough, called him rabbi, to ask him about these very life-changing questions that Nicodemus perhaps had been wrestling with for his whole life. So Jesus, in response, unfortunately we don't have the initial question that was asked by Nicodemus, but we do have Jesus' response that puts us into the arena of the remaining portion of what I want to cover today. Jesus' response is, notice this in verse 3, look at this now, notice. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Greek word here is geneo, and etymologically, geneo means and covers the whole full scope of gestation. I mean, from begettal to the birthing process and all points in between. So the fact of it is, etymologically, it's very difficult to prove what, in fact, Jesus is really meaning by what and when he said born again. unless we, and we have to in this particular case, because the meaning of the word doesn't really get us where we need to be, we've got to look at the context. And whenever you study your Bible, my friends, two things are very critical. The word, of course, that's being used, and the original meaning of it from the Greek and or the Hebrew if it's the Old Testament. But secondly, and sometimes just as importantly, the context. So I submit to you, notice here Nicodemus' response in this particular reaction that he has to Jesus' statement. Nicodemus, in verse 4, says unto him, now this is John 3, 4, how can a man be born when he's old? All right. Now, if I tell you that you need to be born again, and you respond to me by saying, well, how can you be born again when a man is old? What does that tell you? Just stop for a minute. Think. Common sense. Either Nicodemus is drunk, he's on drugs, you know, smoking peyote weed up there in the Middle East or something, or he's a real knucklehead. Because he's certainly not on the same page if, in fact, he's responding in a metabolic, physical, actual response, meaning he's literally taking Christ literally. Nicodemus has nothing on his mind concerning a religious reawakening or some kind of emotional change in one's life or some kind of religious epiphany. He's responding as though he understands Jesus to be asking him to be born again. And Nicodemus is immediately thinking of a little baby coming out of a woman's womb, you know, and the birthing process, gonale, you know, the gestation and all points in between, and finally the birthing process. That's where Nicodemus's head is at by virtue of his response. We can see that. So don't fight it is what I'm saying. Let's go with it. Let's see where it leads us, my friends. Notice this now. Let's go back to verse 4, John 3. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? There is absolutely no question where Nicodemus is on this. Nicodemus is thinking metabolically. He's thinking physically. He's thinking in actual terminology of a physical birth. And that's where his mentality, comprehension, and understanding is. He's on that level. He is in no way, shape, or form in the arena of thinking this is an emotional change in one's life, or that you're coming to some kind of religious reawakening in your life, and you've got some kind of now epiphany you've seen, as I've said before, where now you're going to change your life 180 degrees. It has nothing to do with that, my friends. Nicodemus is telling and responding to Jesus as though Jesus and he are having a biological discussion about birthing. I mean, that's what it's about. Notice over here in verse 5 now, chapter 3, John chapter 3, look where Jesus takes him now. Truly, truly, I say unto you, look at this now, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I know some of you are going to say, well, there it is, Bill. Now, wait a minute. Look at. You're talking about baptism here. You got to be born of water and then, you know, born here, as Jesus says, in the verse 5, of the Spirit. And if you're not born of either, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But let me stop you for a minute, my friends. If Nicodemus is on this metabolic level, thinking actual, thinking literal, thinking about the actual, you know, intrinsicity of actual physical birth, are we not born of water physically? Does not every one of us human beings come out from water? Of course, in the biological processing of the birth of a human being, you know as well as I do, what's the first thing that happens to a woman when a baby is born? It's water. The water bag breaks, right? And then the baby's born. Now, granted, I'm not going to argue over the fact that certainly you have to be baptized also. But the reality of it is, in context of what we're talking about here, my friends, Jesus is saying there are two things that are very important to the overall process of getting into God's kingdom. Paul, he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where there's the first Adam and then there's the second Adam. The first Adam is the one who's born of the flesh, the natural man. And that, as a human being, you have to come to be first. I mean, we're not squirrels, my friends. We're not chimpanzees. We're not dogs. And we're not cats. We're human beings. And being that we're human beings, that's the first Adam. That's the natural man. That is the fleshy person. The second Adam is Jesus, the one who's the spiritual essence and the expected development of our own spirituality and character. And the Apostle Paul carries this throughout the context there when he talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. Here Jesus, in many respects, alludes to this same thing here in verse 5. Now, going on in verse 6, Jesus doesn't stop. Notice, Jesus continues on. Okay, so he says that you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, verse 6, John 3. That which is, look at this now, that which is geneo, that's the Greek, born of the flesh is the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Now, my friends, if Jesus Christ is indeed and in effect talking about a spiritual reawakening, why in the world would he be talking in terminology of Nicodemus? Look, what's of flesh is flesh. What's of spirit is spirit. Now, there is a tremendous distinction here, my friends. Get your mind off of this religious experience for a moment and get your mind onto the context of Jesus and Nicodemus' conversation. Jesus is telling Nicodemus a very important aspect about life after death. That's what this whole conversation is centered around. That's what's central to the theme of this discussion. And Jesus just tells Nicodemus something very important. And Nicodemus, being an educated Jew brought up in the law at the feet of Gamaliel, knows and understands that he's with Jesus because he understands what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is getting now very detailed about some of this process that needs to be undertook in order to make it into God's kingdom. And this was foremost on Nicodemus's mind that evening when he and Jesus approached one another and Nicodemus genuinely asked Jesus, what about life after death? So now Jesus is proceeding. And in verse 7, he obviously must have got a look from Nicodemus, as I'm probably getting a look from some of you out there. And Jesus responds, look at this now, my friends. I mean, we're in the conversation here with Nicodemus and Jesus. You're like a bug on the wall listening to this going back and forth, this volley. Look at this now. Listen, here it is. Verse 7, Jesus says, marvel not. And I could say the same thing to some of you who are viewing this program, because I know some of you are probably surprised at what I'm talking about, because this is different than what you've been led to believe traditionally and conventionally. Yet the context is clear. If you're able to get your preconceived notions and ideas off for a moment and think out of the box and understand and take the Bible for what it really means. And I'm not trying to fool you here, my friends. And I'm not lying to you. We're just reading your Bible here. I mean, this is just a simple conversation. We're going line upon line to illustrate to you that, hey, you know what? We haven't really been told the whole story about this born-again subject. So Jesus says, look, don't be surprised. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again. But the whole context is now, I hope you're beginning to get the impact. Jesus' meaning of this, born again, you must be born again, is literally another birthing process. And that's why Nicodemus was responding with Jesus when he initially said, you know, you must be born again. And he, Nicodemus, said, what do you mean? How can I be born again when I'm old? How can I go back in my mother's womb? Nicodemus understood Jesus perfectly, my friends. That's what I'm submitting to you. That's what I'm suggesting here. Nicodemus was on Jesus' page without question. And Jesus is proceeding along accordingly. This is a very logical conversation. Jesus goes on. Now look at this. He's going to describe what he's talking about. Notice the distinction. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but can't tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus just likened this second birth as a material that is of spirit that goes invisibly. That's what he's saying. In other words, he's saying, look, you can see, you see that? It moved. You couldn't see my breath, which I know if I was outside, you could probably see it because it would be cold, 32, 33 degrees, whatever. You could see my breath, but I'm not talking about that. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. What Jesus was trying to illustrate also, especially being in the Middle East to Nicodemus, you can't see the breath. It's like that spirit. It's like invisible. And you must be born of this material. This is the material that Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you got to be born of. Notice what Paul says. I just want to digress here for a minute. I have to do this. I think it would be remiss of me not to. Look at this over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to break into the context real quick. This is the resurrection chapter, my friends. You need to take some time, read through the whole chapter, get the flow of the context. But I don't have the time, really, and time's already getting away from me here to read the whole chapter. So let me break into the context. I don't want a proof text. I just want to break into the context to illustrate a point of what Jesus is talking about in terms of another body made of a different material that he's calling spirit. Notice here in verse 43, talking about death. Paul says, it is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural, physical, that's what that means, natural, physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. Notice this now, look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44, that's where I'm at, verse 44. There is a natural, a physical body, fleshy. You know, you stab yourself, you bleed red. You got blood inside your veins. And so as a result, you know, you're going to bleed. You're natural. It's physical. And consequently, if you try to walk through a wall, guess what? You can't go through that. You get stopped. You got to open up the door or go through the window in order to get through the wall. Paul says here, notice, there is a natural body. We're all aware of that. There's a physical, fleshy body. Remember, Jesus said, what's born of flesh is flesh. Now, notice this here. Paul says right here in verse 44, and there is, my friends, look at this, and there is a spiritual body. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, what's of flesh, Nicodemus, is of flesh, but what is of spirit is spirit. That's what he was talking about. Let's go back, John 3 here. For a moment, John chapter 3. Look at Nicodemus's response. I always get a kick out of this because Nicodemus, I mean, he's an educated Jew. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, as I said, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. This was no knucklehead, my friends. This was a man well educated in the Torah. And Jesus is telling him about things, believe you me, that were surprising to him. And he's understanding this stuff for the first time because, believe it or not, my friends, the Bible doesn't go into that kind of detail. That is, the Old Testament portion of Scripture doesn't go into this kind of detail that Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus. And for the first time in Nicodemus' life, he's beginning to get the rest of the story. He's beginning to get and understand some concepts and vision and envision, that is, some of the meanings behind things like Job 14, where Job said, my chain shall come. Job 19, where Job says, I will see God apart from my flesh. And he, Nicodemus, was well aware of some of these scriptures that were talked about. Daniel 12, where it talks about people coming up out of the dirt upon the return of the Messiah. They didn't understand it was Jesus Christ who is the Messiah. That's another point. But the point is here, there were a lot of scriptures, I'm sure, that were rolling around in the mind of Nicodemus that now all of a sudden were beginning to take formation. They were beginning to take on new meaning because Jesus was telling him about what was going to happen when you come up out of the dirt. What was going to happen when you do, in fact, and indeed see God apart from your flesh. He's saying, Nicodemus, you're going to be spirit. You're going to be born again of a material called spirit. And the flesh is nothing more than a reflection of the first process, the first phase of life. And it's all around you, my friends. Like a tadpole to a frog, you've heard me say that before. Tadpoles change into frogs, don't they? Larvae, caterpillars change into butterflies. What's so strange then? What's so strange about the ultimate conversion of a human being, flesh, mortal, into something called spirit that is eternal and immortal? Paul says, I want to show you a mystery. Go back there. Go back. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15, my friends, and listen to what Paul says about the mystery he wants to show you and tell you about. What does he tell you? He tells you at the last trump, you're going to be changed. When's the last trump occur? Upon Jesus' return. That's right. That's right. Upon Jesus' return, nobody's gone to heaven, you see. That's what the implication is there. And Paul, the apostle, proceeds to explain how mortal needs to be changed to immortal. Now, let's go back to this response that Nicodemus has to Jesus' statement there in verse 8. Nicodemus responds in verse 9. Look at this. Nicodemus answers and says unto him, how can these things be? You're probably saying that to me. Bill, how can these things be? My friends, it's in your Bible. Look at, Jesus even chides him a little bit. And Jesus answers in verse 10. He goes back because Jesus had a sense of humor. And Jesus knew Nicodemus was friendly. They were having a genuine conversation. And Nicodemus, as I've said already over and over, is not a knucklehead. And Jesus says to him, hey, look, aren't you a master of Israel? Don't you know these things? And then he proceeds, truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And you don't believe me. I tell you these things, Nicodemus, and still you don't believe me, even though they're true. You don't believe me. Listen to this. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't hesitate. He goes on in verse 12 here. He says, if I told you earthly things and you don't believe it, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Listen to this. And he stops, question mark. Nicodemus probably is looking at him. And Jesus proceeds and says, no man, Nicodemus, has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. My friends, Jesus is really putting Nicodemus to the wall. He just told him Moses is not in heaven. He just told him Isaiah, Jeremiah. He just told him all of these fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, including even David. And you can read in David chapter 2 of the book of Acts where it says even his sepulcher today is with us. You've got a lot of questions here, I'm sure, my friends. Stay with us for these few closing comments. Get the offers that we're offering. They're free of charge. Call now 888-578-8791. And friends, keep on that armor of God. In these evil days, we certainly need to have it.
Well, here we go again with a controversy. Born again, what a concept. Now, humanly, we understand that in the process of human birth, it takes 280 days of gestation. And we know the process. When it comes to an elephant, it takes 22 months, almost 2 years. But why is it that we can't understand that there is a process of being born into the spiritual realm, to go through a process that ultimately will bring us into that condition of being truly born in the spiritual realm? Now, Bill Watson has shared with you today information that you need to consider. And really to help you further comprehend what this is all about, I want to list for you the things that we're offering today. First of all, the literature, what do you mean born again? It really does mean born from above, but you can get that piece of literature and two CDs. One entitled John 3, Born Again, and Nick at Night, a sermon I did many years ago. Nick at Night is about Nicodemus coming to Jesus Christ and going through the controversial discussion about marvel not, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And submit to the process, my friends. And what a process it is to ultimately come to the place of being literally born into the family of Almighty God. But there is a process. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, God calls things as they are, though they are not yet that. Yes, I am born again, but I'm in the process. Ultimately, I must shed this flesh. I must come into ultimately the spiritual realm of Almighty God. You can know more when you dial toll-free and make the request for the material we've offered today. That's 1-888-578-8791, or visit us on the website at www.cgi.org. Till next time, I'm Bronson James, reminding you to put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.